The word of God given to us today is the Luke chapter 1, verses 11 to 17. Allow me to read the words. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepare for the Lord. Amen." When Zechariah was performing his duty as a priest to burn the incense, he saw a messenger of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of the incense. He was startled to his bones and was scared. But the messenger told him, "Do not be afraid, and that your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John." And the messenger also said that his birth would bring joy not only to Zechariah, but to many other people. As to the reason why his birth would bring such joy to people, verses 15 to 17 explain as follows. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." The reason that birth of John would be a cause of joy for many people was that he would prepare the children of the Lord to welcome him. Therefore, the birth of John is not just simply a story about a son born to Zechariah's family. It is a special event which has to do with forgiveness of sins, of salvation, and about being children of God. This is why it brings joy to many people, including to us. I will read verse 15 again. "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born." The messenger of the Lord said that John will be great in the sight of the Lord. We thought about in detail the meaning of what this implies, that this does not necessarily mean that John would become a great person in the eyes of the other people or before the world. A person who is before the Lord serves the Lord. The person who is before the world serves the world. And the person before power and wealth serves power and wealth. The more the thing that is before you recognizes you, you become great by the standard of that thing. The more the world recognizes you, become great in the world. The more the power and wealth recognize you, you become great in the realm of power and wealth. The more the Lord recognizes you, you become great in the eyes of the Lord. John wore clothes made of camel hair, hardly clothes. He ate grasshopper and wild honey, food of the lowest class. He lived a short life in his early 30s by being beheaded. But because he lived before the Lord, he was a great person in the sight of the Lord. Because Eternal Lord acknowledged his life, he became a great person before him forever. The messenger of the Lord also said that John would not drink wine or fermented drink. Fermented drink means it's something that can make you drunk. A liquor made from fruits or other grapes, grains, or vegetables. And so in the older revised Korean Bible, this strong drink, this fermented drink, was translated as being soju. That John would not drink wine and fermented drink did not only mean that he would stay away from this kind of drinks. This symbolized that John would live as a Nazirite. A Nazirite is someone who is devoted, someone who is set apart. As to how a person who devotes himself at Nazareth is to live, this is what the Bible tells us. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of dedication to the Lord as a Nazirite, they must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or other fermented drink. They must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins. As long as they remain under their Nazirite vow, they must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skins. During the entire period of Nazirite vow, no razor may be used on their head. They must be holy until the period of their dedication to the Lord is over. They must let their hair grow long. Throughout the period of their dedication to the Lord, the Nazirite must not go near a dead body. Even if their own father, or mother, or brother, or sister dies, they must not make themselves ceremonially unclean on account of them, because the symbol of their dedication to God is on their head. Throughout the period of their dedication, they are consecrated to the Lord." There were three things the Nazirites were restricted from. The first was to stay away from wine and grapes. When we think about hamburger or sandwich, we automatically think of beverages like Coke or other soft drinks or coffee. In Palestine, one would automatically think of wine when thinking of a meal. This was because the water in that region had a lot of lime in it, and it was difficult to drink. So to have a meal without wine was not an easy thing to do. But a person who consecrated himself as a Nazirite had to give up wine during the time of their vow. And the staying away from wine and strong drinks not only meant staying away from them, but that the person would not eat grapes or drink grape juice, would not eat anything to do with that had to do with grapes. The grapes are representative fruits that are produced in Canaan. When Moses had 12 spies look around Canaan for 40 days, what they brought back as a representative sample of our agricultural goods of Canaan were grapes. The grapes were so large that the two persons had to carry a bunch between them, putting a stick through them and hoist it on their shoulders. And raisins symbolized pleasures for people who worshipped idols. And therefore, for people who vowed to be Nazirites, staying away from wine and strong drink and everything that had to do with grapes was meant to signify that they would set themselves apart from others and that they would serve God with clear mind and not be tainted with spirit of Canaan. Secondly, a person who vowed to be a Nazarite could not put razor to his hair. In Acts 18, we see that Paul had cut his hair at Cenchrea in connection with the vow that he had made. As we heard from Pastor Izetzar's sermon, to Jewish people, hair represented life along with heart. So people who vowed to live as Nazarites did not cut their hair during the time of their vow to signify, for the same reason that they did so for staying away from wine and strong drink, to signify that they would give their lives wholly to God. Apostle Paul, in cutting off his hair that grew over 1 year and 6 months at Cenchrea, ended his period of vow. He had already dedicated himself to the Lord before, after the Lord met him on his way to Damascus, when he was full of murderous intent to persecute Christians. But he wanted to rededicate himself again to God, and therefore vowed to live as a Nazarite. If Jesus had added grace on grace to Paul, who was hostile to him, and called him as his apostle, Paul, in order not to forget such grace, added devotion on devotion. Thirdly, a person who vowed to be a Nazarite cannot go near a dead body. Even if a relative or a friend died during the period of vow, or a close family member, he could not go near the body. This did not mean that a Nazarite had to live a life devoid of human relationships, but that he had to put a relationship with God first. At the time, priests were prohibited from drinking wine and strong drinks only during the time that they served their duties. And a priest also could not go near a dead body, but this did not apply in the case of a funeral of his parents, children, or sibling. Only the high priest could not go near the dead body of any person. Therefore, the standard that applied to Nazarite was not that of an ordinary priest, but that of a high priest. So John was set apart to live as a Nazarite before his birth. The messenger of God told Zechariah that John would be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. Now, these days, Koreans call a person who has never dated since his birth as a solo from the womb. Now, from this perspective, for John, he would be somebody who was full of Holy Spirit from the time of the womb. Now, there is a very close relationship between not drinking wine or strong drink and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 also mentions these two things together. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. About 20 years ago, I remember reading a book titled God is Blinded by Love. It was a picture book with a few words, in the book noted 9 things that are common to being drunk with wine or with drink and being filled with the Holy Spirit. The first is to become talkative. Second, sings. Third, urges. Fourth, cries. Fifth, becomes courageous. Sixth, becomes under the control of. Seventh, become addicted to or can't live without. Eighth, need accompanying food. This is meant to say that being filled with the Holy Spirit requires words of God. And last and ninth, gives off smell. Among them, what expresses the best about being drunk and being filled with the Holy Spirit is the sixth point, which is that one becomes controlled by it, or one becomes under the control of it. When one becomes suddenly generous upon being drunk and argues that he would pay for the drinks, which is half of his salary, by himself, or gives 50,000 won as an allowance to a kid who normally, if kids in elementary school who went in ordinarily, she or he would have only gotten 5,000 won. This is not generosity, but it implies that the person's, but it shows the person's brain having stopped functioning and his control mechanism having broken down. Therefore, that John would not drink wine or strong drink and would become filled with the Holy Spirit means that he would not be under the control of the finite values or secular values represented by alcohol, but that he would be under the control of eternal values or true values of the Holy Spirit. Now, why did John have to stay away from wine or fermented drink and be filled with the Holy Spirit from the time that he was in mother's womb? Verse 16 tells us the reason. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. The reason that John had to be set apart as a Nazarite and be controlled wholly by the Holy Spirit was so that he could make the children of Israel come back to God. To return means to repent, to change from a life that avoided God to a life that seeks God, that regards God, from a life that floated like a raft along the river of secular values to a life like a fish that swims upstream towards eternity. From a life that considered things that could be seen as best, as a life that considers God and His kingdom that cannot be seen as being the most precious and is lived in obedience to God. In Korean also, to return does not simply mean a change in location. For example, if you say, I have ended my life away from home for 30 years and at last I've returned home. I am going to farm and finish the rest of my life here. You're implying the city was not home and the country is your home, and returning would mean not only moving from a city to a countryside, but that the countryside would become the base of my life and my heart and would be in the country. The work that John was to do sounds serious and sounds an alarm for us. The people John was to work for were not Gentiles, but the children of Israel. They were the chosen people of God, chosen personally by God. God guided them from the time of their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when they were slaves in Egypt, and when their life would have ended that way, God allowed them to escape slavery by bringing 10 plagues and working the miracles of the Red Sea in the desert. He guided them with pillars of fire and clouds, fed them with manna, and allowed them to inherit the land of Canaan. The Israelites worshiped God even in the desert, in the land of Canaan, and even when they were under captivity under Babylon, they worshiped him in synagogues. The very place where Zechariah is hearing the news of John's birth is the inside courtyard of the temple where sacrifices were offered. After they settled in Palestine, there hardly was a time that they did not offer worship during the 1,500 years. But in reality, they themselves had grown apart from God. This is a spiritual loss that the children of Israel were suffering at the time. Therefore, God set John apart, even before the time of his birth, to be a Nazarite, set apart, and be filled him with the Holy Spirit, so that he would serve as the pathway through which the children of Israel would return back to God. Today is the Reformation Sunday on which 497 years ago, Martin Luther raised a protest against the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages that had become so corrupt that he sold indulgences for money without any hesitation to finance the construction of St. Paul's Cathedral, which is still in Rome. Reformation did not begin in a mega city of the time like Rome or Paris. In 1517, Luther wrote 95 theses criticizing the practice of selling indulgences in Wittenberg, a college town located in Saxony-Sachsen, Germany. Luther did not know that the small act that he did, what he was doing, would become the starting point of changing the flow of practice of faith in Europe and throughout the whole world. God made that small act into a beating of a wing of a butterfly that unleashed the butterfly effect. The essence of Reformation is return to the Scripture. God is not a being who is pouring out the cup of wrath, withholding salvation from men. Rather, as it is written in the Bible, God is someone who loves human beings so much that he would send his only Son. The salvation is not achieved by buying indulgences, but through the faith in the blood of the cross, as the Bible teaches. The Reformation declared and affirmed the salvation by faith. But what is the situation of Korean churches today? In particular, in Seoul, there are so many churches. There is the largest church in the world. And of the 50 largest churches in the world, about half of them are in Korea. Today, too, worship is offered in tens of thousands of churches across our nation today. It is even said as a joke that when the Lord returns, he wants to return to Korea, but can't because he's afraid of tripping over all the crosses in Seoul. Even so, when we think about Korean church, why is it that we feel despair rather than hope? Christians say that when they seriously look, there is no church that they can go to. Worship is offered every Sunday, but the word is not declared. There are Christians at every strata of our society, and yet there is no fragrance of Christians to be found. The reason? There is only one reason for that. Christians have not returned to God. Christians worship God, but they do not make their lives, thoughts, and their values return to those of God. Rather, that they turn back on the Lord and desperately want Lord's help, only to get what they want, what they desire after. What about us? Who is the church? Most of us have never formally left God after becoming believers. Or maybe there are some few of us who have left God, being angry at Him after having suffered things that we cannot explain. But maybe they are now sitting here after getting a glimpse of the fact that some things are beyond human understanding and limitations despite such experiences. As did the Israelites, we too worship every Sunday. And if the children of Israel had to return to God, we too must return to God, to His words. If at this time, during this worship, we do not base our whole personality and our lives wholly on God, but we are following after our thoughts and greed, we are the Israelites who refuse to return to God. What is far more important is for us to return to God rather than coming to church every Sunday. This is the way to personal reformation, which will lead to the reformation of our 100th anniversary Memorial Church. And when all Korean churches go through this kind of reformation, it will be the reformation of the Korean church. Although we may not be great in the eyes of the world at this time, even if what we have is not much and we have not learned much, if we go back to God and obey Him, God, who is eternally great, who is the master of the world, who is almighty, will use us to renew the life of another person. And not only now, but 10 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, He will use us as a pathway through which yet another person can return to God. It is then that we will truly become participants of Reformation. Let us pray. Father God, no matter what a great person we are in the world, and although we may be giants in terms of power and wealth, if we fail to return to God, all of it would be a mere illusion, a soap bubble under the sun. And even if we were to worship You all of our lives without missing a single Sunday, if we do not return to You, our worship would merely be a religious ritual, not too different from those who worship idols. On this 497th anniversary of the Reformation, thank you for allowing us to look clearly at the direction we're headed and to see our true reality. Help us to realize deeply that not only John, but we are to live as Nazarites filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us to stay away from things that we should stay away from as the Nazarites. Help us remember who it is who is in control of us, and that we should place priority on our relationship with you above all else. May we undergo personal reformation, realizing that we are the ones who must return to God and must live as Nazarites. Thereby may our gathering, the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church thus reformed, and the Korean church that has returned to God become genuine Church of the Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.